the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Sorry about that. I don't know how long this has been playing. but I was trying to get a phone number. And in fact, Deja, Bill's number, like an idiot, I have not put Bill Downs' number in the phone. And by all rights, we should get to, well, either way, maybe try Dick first and buy me a couple of minutes to dig you up Bill's number. Although I hope that, well, they don't start. They're an hour behind anyway. We'll be all right with Bill. I was worried about running Bill Downs too late, but he'll be all right. I think you know, Indiana's so funny because they've got the weird Eastern time zone versus Central, and. Okay, so, good, Deja, you had the number. All right, so she had, Bill will follow Dick, so it works out perfectly. That was one of the best parts. One of the best parts about living in Cincinnati, and I'm sure this is just as true in Louisville, when I lived in Cincinnati and worked for Procter and Gamble, not Tom, you'd get home from work, you know, whatever, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And in the summer, you know, the sun, you'd have light. You could play 18 holes. You literally could come home from work, go play golf, come home, barbecue, and the sun wasn't even set yet. It'd be 9:50, literally 9:50 at night, and it was just the sun's just setting. An underrated aspect of life on the western end of the Eastern time zone. Dick Powell, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. The problem is the sun doesn't come up till 8:30.
That's all right, though.
Okay.
That's a good point.
I get up early. I'm a nut. I'm up with the birds. So.
I love it. Dick, we got a million things we could talk about, and obviously we'll catch up. We'll do a little quick. We'll do Belmont on Thursday when we do our Hong Kong visit. But the international action. Quite something between Almendi getting beat, and both the Oaks and you gave out the Epsom Oaks winner at a decent number, and then Anthony Van Dyke with a nice win at a decent price as well on Saturday. A quick review from the international potpourri.
Yeah, Almendi got beat going a mile in Japan. She drew an outside post, didn't break particularly well. Was gaining ground at the wire. The final time was 130.90, and I can't imagine what Almendi's last 400 meters was. So she did nothing to disgrace herself other than not win, and she's still on her game, and I'm sure the next race will be a little bit longer than a mile. So she ran extremely well. The Oaks was Anna Pernia, who was one of three Frankels in the race. Frankel had yet to win yet the Shira Classic winner, and Frankie battled with Ryan Moore. And Ryan had gotten a jump in the stretch when Frankie was kind of not bottled up but looking for room. And usually that's just the kiss of death at Epsom, because that horse with the momentum usually goes on to win. And Ryan Moore doesn't lose many head-to-head battles with 100 yards to go, but Frankie dug down. And Frankie, with the more American riding style, which I think is the more efficient riding style, was able to win that one. And also, Steve, on the inside, because earlier in the day in the Coronation Cup, Atzini won with the foe, and he also was inside Kew Gardens up the hill at Epsom going a mile and a half. That brings us to Saturday's Derby. Seven trained by Aidan O'Brien, six sired by Galileo. Galileo finishes two out of the top three, including the winner, Anthony Van Dyke, who was behind a wall of four or five horses coming up the hill. Shamey Heffernan waited. He didn't panic and try to go around them. He waited, and the inside was wide open, and he made the move. He had the horse. He had plenty of stamina underneath him, being by Galileo, and he was able to win it in an incredibly tight four-horse photo for place. And just a terrific race. Shamey has won the Breeders' Cup Turf with Highland Reel. He's won the Epsom Oaks with Was. So he gets the second string Aidan O'Brien's, which is usually everyone else's first string. So he gets top mounts and he delivered. And I believe Shamey's in his 40s. So this is a big win for him. Have you ever won the Epsom Derby? Yes. So that was nice to see him and Aidan win his seventh, I think it was, Epsom Derby on Saturday morning.
Nice. It was an action-packed weekend, and I know some people were just stunned by the Almendi circumstance, but she'll regroup and go from there.
Well, if they did performance figures for her in Japan, she clearly had the best number, but she lost ground and just didn't seem to have the speed that she had going a mile and eighth like she did at Dubai, which is also a one-turn race. And then last year in the Japan Cup at a mile and a half, she sat second and just galloped and galloped. This time she was farther back, but really closed and just was gaining every stride, just ran out of room. And like I said, the final time was spectacular.
Well, that that gets our international portion out of the way. We'll save Hong Kong and we'll save Belmont conversation for Thursday with you, Dick. Let's get a Pennsylvania conversation going, our first summer discussion about Presque Isle Downs.
Yes, we're back in Presque Isle. Prices have gone up since the last time we talked, which is a good thing. Jockey standing kind of flipped. Antonio Gallardo has 17, Pablo Morales 13, and the surprise here is Scott Speed has 14. Part of that seems to be Scott is usually based in Ohio. Ohio has pretty good purses now at the slots at the racetrack, and Ohio racing has gotten a little bit better. So when the Ohio horses are coming in to Presque Isle, like Radosevich and those type trainers, Scott's getting on some live mounts. So he's 14 out of 48. Morales is 13.70 at only 17%, but, you know, night after night, Morales is just super tough. So I think we'll see those three riders do extremely well. Ron Allen has 9 and 9 seconds, so he's riding well. Also, in the trainer standings, now, the last couple of years, it's bounced back between Teresa Connolly and Jerry Brooks. Teresa avenged losing the year before. She won last year's title. Well, this year, Jerry Brooks is 13 out of 43 already with 8 seconds and 3/3. So he's taken no prisoners this year. Teresa has 4 wins from only 20 starters. John Burke has 4 wins. And then Ron Potts has 3. And Tim Gurton, Darian Rodriguez, and Tim Ham have 3. I'm looking Ed Rojas, Randy Russell, David Marcraft have 3. Oh, actually, Aldana Gonzalez has 4. This doesn't have as much money as the other one, so she's actually tied with Teresa for second place. That'll tighten up because Teresa seemed Brooks has seemed to come out firing with all the horses being ready. And what we see at Presque Isle is we see horses coming off long layoffs, but the amazing thing is, and I will do a study of this for you next week, the amazing thing is when you look at the horses in each race, look how quickly they're coming back from their last start. Once the Presque Isle meet gets going and the horses that are stable there and race there regularly, they will come back 2, 2.5 weeks. None of this 4 to 6 weeks like we see around the country. So that's always good to see it. And then the horse-for-course angle has been huge. We've already seen Nice and Easy out on the track with 16 wins at Presque Isle over the years. And that's a big factor every night, handicapping horses and looking at the horse-for-course angles. Tonight we have racing 5:25 post time, and we have the usual 8-race card, and we're going to go later in the card for our picks tonight. Going to go to race number 5, number 1, Injazat. I think that's how you pronounce it. Added Blank is 2 back, ran pretty well at Woodbine on its PETA up there. Now that's an interesting angle because Woodbine and Presque Isle have the same racing surface, and I don't think Mark brought it up in this meeting that you just had with him. But Mark has had wonderful things to say about racing and training up at Woodbine on the Tapeta and wonders why it's not used everywhere. Presque Isle does have the same track. So Injazat came down and just missed going gate to wire last time out, going 1.70 miles, draws the rail today. Now turns back to 6. That sometimes is a tough move. But at least has gate speed and won't get too far back early, especially with Gallardo riding. So we'll see the Son of Pulpit up near the lead. I don't think he can make the lead, but he'll be up near the lead. He has a couple of races already this year, so he still is in the middle of his form cycle, and I think at 3-1 with Gallardo, we'll take number 1 in Injazat in race number 5. From there, we'll go on to race 6, and we like number 5, Redeem My Heart. This one from Tim Gurton, where the blink is 2 back. This is kind of your typical Presque Isle horse that you see this time of year. Raced in September, was off until May, came back in May, just missed going gate to wire against this state bred allowance level, and now draws better. I like drawing outside, and Scott Speet gets the ride here for Tim Gurton. So I think we got all the things in our favor in race number 6 and in race number 8. Going to go with number 6, 50 plus. Shelley Green is the trainer. Not much to say about her, only two starts this year, but she used Gallardo last time out, which was impressive that she was able to get the leading rider. And he almost delivered from the rail after getting shuffled back on five furlongs in very fast time. Now they stretch out to six furlongs, and I think the race over the track, second start off the long layoff, those are all big angles for a better post position with Gallardo in the irons, 5-1 morning line. So that's race 8, number 6, 50-plus. So we like race 5, number 1, In Jazzette. Race 6, number 5, Redeem My Heart. And race 8, number 6, 50-plus.
Very nice. Well, we also should note on the skate, we only missed, for our conversation purposes, we only missed the one stake, which was that Tom Ridge back, what, it's probably 2 weeks by now.
Yes.
And I'm just, well, no, I can tell you because because we discussed it, and Mark Cassie was just here. And that was that explorationist that I didn't ask for an update, but Mark had been with us on, I guess it was, that would have been the Monday after Preakness. And the Tom Ridge was the next day, an explorationist came up, and we discussed him, and Mark said he thought that the light had gone on after the wood and the, you know, the win at Woodbine. And there's your angle, Dick, that you talked about, coming from Woodbine, going down to Presque Isle, and wire to wire under Lermite came down to. In fact, I remember I brought it up with Mark. What a nice opportunity it was for him to win a stake in the U.S. I think it was his first.
Yes, I remember that conversation. I don't know if the light went on for me hicking that race. I'm trying to remember. I know it went a 9 and change. It was very, very quick time and a legitimate time for them. Saturday afternoon, I spent a good half hour. Sunday afternoon, I spent a good half hour talking to Leon Blueswitz.
Over at the Nice.
Almost as good as his radio appearance, but. No. I don't think anyone can top that.
No, that was that one. That one's going to stand the test of time as a best of. Very much so. Well, nice. I'm looking forward to. I haven't gone over to the track yet at all.
Yeah, I saw him over at the hardest track for simulcasting, so we were able to hang out and. And he loves international racing. I mean, he talked.
Yes, he does.
Baden-Baden last.
Yes, he
last,
does.
Last fall, and we've talked about the Arc and Chanty and all the different tracks. And he's always curious about the tracks that I've been to. And he takes. I don't know what he did last year, but I know the one year he went, he took the Queen Mary.
Yep.
Over to England.
Yep.
What a great way to go! Wow.
He was all, I know he was excited about that, he told us all about that. You know, I was surprised with him actually. You know that he went to the Arc while they were rebuilding, right? While they were getting boy that
yeah, they, fact, they moved it to Chanty for 2 years.
Right, and then you know, Longchamp reopened, and it's, you know, it's notable. It just occurs to me, between the Cura remodel, Epsom had the gigantic remodel, Longchamp, and you're now going to have Belmont remodeled. I mean that is as significant a foursome of of international racing that you could possibly, you know, you could possibly reinvent.
Yeah, all big, meaningful, historic type race venues that, you know, unfortunately it's like a hotel every 10 years, 7 to 10 years. You gotta fix things, you gotta change things, you gotta make it different and new and better and everything else. And the Cura has gotten big reviews. Now the big review will be Irish
for Derby, yeah,
coming up in a couple of weeks, and that'll be their first, grand opening, so to speak. They've had racing there, but everyone's seen it, raves about it.
We will get the authoritative review from John Parada, who will be on hand for the Irish Derby. So he will get the. But it does occur to me with that to reach out and get Paul Roberts, the noted architect, you know, whose book, whose coffee table book about racetrack design and rebuilds. But Ireland, England, France, and U.S. I just you hot walked me right into a topic. Dick, I appreciate it as always, and looking
Dave,
forward
to. And I'll talk to you on Thursday.
We'll talk Thursday. We'll do our Belmont action, although you know you can just hint around some things, and because you do write up the analysis for the Brisnet team, but we can maybe get a couple of ideas, what your thoughts are going into it, and of course. We'll have the benefit of the entire card, which is being assembled literally as we speak at the racing office here in Elmont. Back after a break, we've got Bill Downs who's going to visit, and I'm guessing, I don't know if we're going to get to Jeremy this morning. Bill needed a couple of minutes. If Deja, that's up to you. If you want to try Jeremy first for a quick hello and get some thoughts about the Belmont from Jeremy Plonk Bill. But we'll have Bill Downs before we wrap up. We're live at Belmont. It's absolutely as beautiful. I understand why Mark Cassie was a little chilly because we're in the shade, but he's right. I was wearing a sport coat, so and he was wearing short sleeve. Back after this to Belmont Park.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
938-4643. Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, you! Come out here on the floor!
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor! Honey, let's rock some more, yeah! Now, when you get out here, Don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out. Ah, mama, move up.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes to fill out this fun second day of Belmont Week, and highlighted by a couple of in-person visits with Danny Gargan, and then an extended session with Mark Cassie, who is just so much fun to talk to and revealing. And when we talked to Gargan, we talked about a win that he had at Indiana with one of his Kentucky / Indiana region horses, and the opportunity to connect today with Bill Downs. And it was such a, I imagine, incredibly emotional time for Bill. We last time we talked 2 weeks ago, we pay tribute to his late father, and then the opportunity to go home to Chicagoland and call a race dedicated to his dad. And Bill, that was wonderful. Well done. Congratulations on that and getting through it, which had to be very tough.
Yeah, it was interesting. Arlington asked if they could record it live on their Facebook page, and I was fine with it. That doesn't bother me. As long as I know who's in the booth, it doesn't bother me. It's when people would, like, walk in at the last second or something like that. That's when it would bother me. But so they were there, so it was kind of like I knew I had a camera on me, and I guess everyone grieves differently, and I thought I'd be, I would be a mess, if you will, right after the race. But I was actually quite, I was calm. I know my dad would have gotten a real kick out of it. I didn't tell him that we were going to try and, get a race named after him. You don't like talking to your loved one saying, this is what we're going to do after you're gone. but I always knew that Arlington would do it. I didn't know that John Dooley would be so accommodating and allow me to call the race. And, I've known John for many, many years. He got his start in Ohio up at Thistledown. I got my start pretty much at, Arapaho Park in Denver, and then at Beulah Park outside of Columbus, Ohio. So I've known John forever, and he was so great about it. I was up there right after when my dad passed away. I was up at Arlington, and I went to Arlington on Derby Day because it was right after when my dad passed away. So I'm not going to miss the Derby. I'm just looking to, I'm just looking to live my life, if you will. And so we were after the races, and I knew John would be at a certain place, and normally he would be there, and he was. And we talked about it. He's like, hey, you want to call a race? Go, you got my approval. I'm like, oh, okay. And I didn't, I was just kind of like, I'm not going to be pressing him every, couple days. Hey, is it approved? But then it was about the Thursday before the race. And then Arlington officials, Howard Sudbury, said, hey, you're calling the race, right? And I'm like, I guess so. So that's how it all came about. And it was really cool. I just got the winner's circle photos yesterday in the mail. Arlington sent a few out to me, so it was fun just to kind of relive the moment, if you will, from that Sunday.
Now it was really sweet, and I know, when I lost my mother, Gary Siak had a race arranged on closing day. For her, and I think people at the track, Bill, they see those gatherings, and they you look in the program and you see whatever the name is, and some are annual or some are a one time thing. My friend Howard Barish, he and the family come in from Vegas for his father in law. And they've been doing it forever. We see that really everywhere. And you sort of see the photos being taken, and you hear the announcer, whoever the track announcer is, the track voice, and they'll say named for. But down in that winner's circle, it's really packed with emotion, and the understanding that the person being honored, treasured their time at the racetrack, or you know, with the family in any shape or form. And it's really on a daily basis, coast to coast, anywhere racing is run. It's really a wonderful moment, on a constant basis. Every time you see it, it's moving.
Yeah. You know, my dad retired at a, you know, somewhat early age. I think he retired right when he was around 60, and he lived to 85. So he never got remarried. I was his only kid, so he wasn't a golfer, so he needed something to do, and his social time was going to the racetrack. And you know, I've been blessed, but from hearing so many stories about, from people saying how much they appreciated my dad, how much they actually, you know, especially in his a little bit younger days, how much he taught them about handicapping and discipline, and you don't have to bet every race, and don't bet over your head, bet with your head, and just all. And another little quick story: my girlfriend was in the stand, and I was up in the booth, and she was in the stand, and made mention of this being my dad's memorial race. And even if some random people that were like, "Oh, I know that guy. I remember him." And that's how my dad was just kind of like an Arlington institution. And one of his nicknames was the mayor of Arlington. And he was especially in his younger days, in his 40s, 50s, 60s, and even his 70s, he was very, very active and outside and talking to people and almost like an unofficial ambassador for Chicago racing. And it was a lot of fun. I will say that. And I really appreciate Arlington doing what they did and allowing me to call the race, which I kind of, I hated even getting the opportunity and under the circumstances, but it really just kind of added just a little bit even more to the race. And,
sure.
I was hoping that the race was going to stay on the turf. My dad loved turf racing. They've had such wet weather there in Chicago, but they had to take it off the turf. But it was ironic. We picked a race that was at least scheduled for the turf, and he would have been like, I can't bet this race because it came off the turf.
You know, we should also note, I had the conversation yesterday with Mike Campbell, and is it a coincidence that days after this Illinois racing, I hate saying, is saved, quote unquote, but certainly the shot in the arm that everybody's been waiting for, Bill, came over the weekend, and there's going to be a future for both the harness and flat racing in Illinois, which is really heartening.
Yeah, I mean, the one tidbit that I still haven't found out at all was that the fact, I know you talk mostly thoroughbreds, but where the harness track is going to be located at, and who's going to own the harness track. And
right. Right.
That's there's a lot of details to this bill. I know it's like 900 pages, and but I would love to read a little bit where how this is all going to be decided and all that, all the juicy details from what transpired just a day or so ago.
Well, and it's not without there's not without long-term import, of course, to the region. And what has been so difficult for Illinois has been in part Indiana, the strength and the growing strength of the racing in Indiana. Ohio absolutely reinvented itself kind of out of left field. Kentucky has actually managed to catch up quite a bit using the historic racing that has revitalized their year-round circuit as well as the harness side of things. Even Iowa has got a nice steady program at Prairie Meadows. So the Mid-American racing scene going to be interesting. I imagine the Illinois breeding program will be the interesting thing to watch. Many mares that went to Ohio and to Indiana and elsewhere. I mean, Iowa breds are out there and so forth. It'll be interesting to see how many mares come back to Illinois or are placed into the program. these are all the issues. You know, we face it in the Northeast, Bill, where, you know, there's this concentration of racetracks and everybody competing, you know, for, you know, the same horse flesh.
Yep. A couple things. Yeah, I think Illinois better take a long look at their breeding program, because it's really, really kind of gone downhill.
Yep.
You know, they were combining, what, Arkansas and some other breds and allowance races, state bred races up at Arlington this year. That shows you how, Louisiana breds. It was Louisiana, Arkansas, and Illinois breds were all combined, and they could run in, like, some state bred races up there.
Yep.
So that's one thing. I also mentioned, I work at Indiana Grand, is that, you know, Indiana had just got done with a big, I guess, gambling expansion program or bill, if you will, in which the racetracks, Indiana Grand and Hoosier Park, will be getting live dealers. Before, it was just like video poker and all that stuff. They're getting live dealers now, will contribute more money to purses in Indiana. And also the sports gambling got added as well. And I guess the one difference between Indiana and Illinois is that the sports gambling money proceeds, part of it will go to the purses as well. Where in Illinois, I don't believe they do. So Indiana's going to have another little bump up in purse money as well. We know we're not Churchill Downs, but we like to think we do some good things and offer opportunities to some horses that might be based in Kentucky, especially non-Kentucky breds that can run up in Indiana for some pretty good money as well.
Well, the action continues at Indiana, and since we talked last, we had those two sire races. They ran after we visited, Snicker Cookie and Maryland Mongo. The two, of course, they ended up, both races had to deal with weather. You've been victimized as much as anywhere by the incessant spring rain, but enjoyed that card, actually, going back 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the good news is that we finally gotten a little bit of dry weather here at Indiana Grand, Central Indiana, for the last 2 days, so we're fast and firm. I've got, at least 3 turf races today, if I'm not mistaken, and it should be a good betting card, if you will. And, you know, I think one of the best betting races on the card is the seventh race, the Maidens on the Turf, going a mile 16.
Give us some details.
All right. The morning line favorite is the six-horse Temple City Terror from the Brendan Walsh barn. Been racing exclusively on the turf, is his daughter of Temple City. Last time out, I had a wide post at Keeneland on April 24th. And the winner of that race came back to win next time out, a starter allowance race at Churchill Downs not too long ago on March 31st, since my PPs were published. And I'm glad I looked it up again. So she's coming out of a pretty good race. That's 6 Temple City Terror. And then co-second choice at 7-2, the 10-horse Divine Quality. A strange story with her. She broke her maiden at Delaware Park on October 4th, and she was running against winners. And then she got claimed on March the 20th out of the condition claiming race. And I had to do some research. I'm like, well, why is she running in against winners when she broke her maiden? And it wasn't that she got to, she interfered with the horse. There was a drug positive, and that came out on April the 24th. So she goes back to the maiden ranks, and she's with a new trainer. Tony Cunningham is mostly known for quarter horses. But the owner was the owner that did claim this horse on March 20th. So I'm really interested in seeing how Divine Quality runs in this spot. You know, she ran, her numbers, especially her last two races, certainly match up quite well against this field. It's just that you're going to have to deal with the new trainer and seeing what happens there. But those are a couple. I like both of those fillies. And then maybe a long shot in the race is the 3-horse Artistic, who last raced on sloppy track at Keeneland. Now, she's the long shot, 15-1 in my line. The race before that at Tampa Bay Downs, I love when the horses pass up multiple horses in the stretch, and that's what Artistic did, going from dead last to fifth, and this is her first race on turf since that race on March the 9th. I throw a line through the race at Keeneland. on April the 14th. But Artistic might be an interesting long shot if you don't want to swallow, tepid chalk, if you will, with the other two horses, Temple City Terror and Divine Quality that I mentioned in race 7.
Excellent. What else you got?
Let's see here. We got a couple races. I'll give you another long shot in our second race. It's a turf race going a mile on the 16th, and all the favorites in the race, My Rocket Lady, the 4-9-5 favorite, the one horse You Know See Me, the 5 Quiet Contender, 4-1, they have little to no turf breeding at all. And, maybe I'm trying to reach a little bit, but Babes on a Budget on the outside, I think, is much better on turf than she is on dirt. All three of her races this year have been on dirt, and they've been very, mediocre, to say the least. She's much better on turf. She broke her maiden on turf. She ran second this level last time out when she ran on turf at the end of last season. And I think you get a price, even though, everyone can see that she's better on turf than on dirt. I still think she's going to get ignored in the wagering. 12-1 in my morning line. Babes on a Budget, a little bit of a long shot in race 2.
Excellent. The action today at Indiana Grand, 3:15 Eastern, or 2:15 Eastern, I take that back.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with some Indiana bred action. Got the good turf racing and the weather moderating. So you can look forward to it this afternoon and Bill's calls. Anything tomorrow, Bill, looking ahead to the Wednesday card?
I think the Wednesday card is a little bit better. I like to mention is that the
nice
Wednesday
field size.
Cards are generally our best cards. I'm just thumbing through it right now. I didn't do all of my work as of yet, so, but I know we got 10 races, which we've struggled to fill 10 races this year. So we got 8 thoroughbred races, 2 quarter horse races. So it's always nice when we get 8 thoroughbred races on a card, which hopefully means that the signs of things are starting to heat up in the entry box, and we present the more bettable races, which is always our number one goal.
Well, and just looking through, you got sizable fields for those that, that make their decisions based, in part or largely on field size. You've got plenty to work with on this card. So from that standpoint, you got some maiden action. In fact, myself just kind of glancing here, if I can't come up with something. I'm looking at the 7th, Bill, and
all right.
Yeah, neither one is a price. That horse with Parker, with Deshaun Parker, maneuvered the 8 kind of catches my attention. This is maiden 10s of Indiana breds, but that's just at a glance.
The winner of that special race, Mr. Seneca, runs on today's card, so you might want to see how Mr. Seneca does in his first race against the winners. So that might be one to take a look at for tomorrow. And one thing I will also mention, the Indiana Derby is Saturday, July 13th. And it's about once the calendar turns to June, you start hearing about right after the Belmont Stakes, you start hearing about where connections are going to point certain horses. Of course, we got a $500,000 race. I think it's like $250,000 that runs a couple weeks before the Indiana Derby. Ohio is like the first one that runs right after the Belmont Stakes. You start hearing about horses that might be pointing towards our little race on Saturday, July 13th, Indiana Derby. I know Warrior's Charge has been rumored to potentially run in the Indiana Derby. Of course, the owner, 10-Strike Racing, Marshall Graham, runs horses at Indiana Grand plenty. So I'm hoping that, and it's trained by Brad Cox, who ran was set the pace in the Preakness and ran pretty darn good, I thought. I would love for that horse on a track that, you don't like to come from way, way out of it. I think it would suit him well, Warrior's Charge. Hopefully he's one that will be pointing towards the Indiana Derby. But I always do all sorts of searches trying to find out what which horses are pointing towards the Indiana Derby. And then, of course, I start bothering my racing secretary, director of racing, Kevin Greeley, and seeing what he has to. He can what tidbits he can drop.
Well, we're getting to that time on the calendar where the regional, some of the regional action, the regional derbies, always fun. And we'll look forward, look ahead as soon as we wrap up with Triple Crown season. Bill Downs, I appreciate it very much. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks. And, thank you. You got a Belmont thought? You got a Belmont opinion for Saturday?
No, not yet. I used to handicap way in advance, and now I just kind of like, when the entries come out, you can ask me. Unfortunately, for purposes of this show, I don't have an opinion as of yet.
Not a problem. Bill, thanks a lot. We'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
Bill Downs from Indiana Grand, and you can follow Bill. Bill Downs 1. Does it all. He's doing the morning line. He's doing the handicapping and more. The race actually. I went from the 7th to that 8th at Indiana tomorrow. I'm going to look at that race some more. That's a really good group, and they're very, very well matched. There's got to be a good price to play off of in that 8th race tomorrow at Indiana. We'll talk about it tomorrow. How about that? All right? 5:30, BelmontStakes.com for the draw. And I want to thank Danny Gargan, Mark Cassie, two great visits in person here, Andy Serling, Dick Powell, Bill Downs, and Deja back in Margate on the board. Enjoy the day. Good luck if you're playing. Indiana and Presk are two of your choices today. Finger Lakes, too. And we'll be back with you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. If you missed anything, catch the replay or archive, podcast, stevepick.com. And right here on SiriusXM in the morning from Belmont Park. Thanks, everybody.